Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Option Trading Concepts Live. My name is Nick Batista. I've got my man, Mikey Butler, with me, as always. And if you want to come join us, hop over to YouTube, type in Tasty Live, come to our channel, give us a like, and subscribe to our videos because that helps us immensely. But more importantly, just come chat with us live because we'll be taking questions throughout the show. Whatever you got questions on, from strategies to concepts, trade ideas, trade management, whatever, just come hang with us for the next hour of the day, my favorite hour of the day, because I spend it with my guy, Mikey Butler. How are you, sir?
Doing well. It's a Friday. Nice Friday here in Chicago. Markets recovered from last night's craziness.
Did you see it, like, in action?
Yeah.
It was pretty wild.
Bitcoin was down, like, 4K, 5K. E-mini's down 80. NASDAQ down 300. And then I woke up this morning, and it was like nothing happened.
It really was. It was down. I think we were down, like, 3 or 4 when I was hopping in the shower this morning. Wild. Absolutely crazy. Yeah, these candles are they gravestone dojis? Are they hammers? Are they, what do we call them?
Well, if you look at the Bitcoin candle,
it's the God candle.
Yeah, I think a God candle's incoming.
Okay. All right.
Based on this buy the absolute dip.
Uh-huh.
It went below 60K by pretty, 6290 was the low in Bitcoin futures. And just immediately got gobbled up.
Yeah, in the spot markets, we got to 59.5.
There you go.
So.
Crazy.
Buy the dip, I guess.
Yeah, the dip was aggressively bought.
Yeah.
And having going on, you got some turbulence in here. We'll see.
E-mini's got to 49.63, so 60 points lower from here. Wild move there. I think volatility was really the most interesting part of this, is that we got into or just under a 20 handle in volatility. That would have been an interesting wake up. Because we really haven't seen that. We've seen a little bit of a pullback, obviously, in the markets. We're, 5, 6, 7% from highs. You've had that pullback, but you really haven't had that spike in volatility. A VIX futures at 1770 right now, it's kind of like a big old nothing burger.
Yeah.
Orderly.
Orderly nothing burger.
Yes.
Gold still climbing higher, unfortunately. Close that soybean put spread, though.
Yes, like I'm routing 50, in order to
bucks
close
out
that.
Of there. So we might be going to a steakhouse. Dinner.
Yes.
As a thruple, we'll call it. Netflix down 50. I mean, this is your classic example of destroyed earnings per share, destroyed revenue, destroyed guidance, down 50.
Yeah, well.
Sometimes you just never know what's
going to
happen.
I'm in sympathy with you. I bought the dip here this morning. I did a little crab trade in June.
There you go.
Bought the 575, sold two of the 600s, bought one of the 625s. To make it equal with, I did it at $13. It's trading at $12.82 right now, so hasn't really moved all that much.
Yeah, the headlines around Netflix say they beat the numbers, but
they're not reporting.
Not reporting subscribers in 2025, which is like, why? You know?
E-mini S&P 500 futures down 30 right now. You got the NASDAQ down 280. The Dow bucking the trend here up 142. And the Russell unchanged. Oil catching a little bit of a bid, but it was up at 86 yesterday or 85 and change into what looked like doomsday, World War III happening. Volatility futures /VX 1771. Again, they got up almost to 20. Bonds up 17 ticks. You got gold up $8, silver up 28 cents. And then, as Mikey alluded to, Bitcoin has had a nice little rally here. The futures are up 940, spot up 1800 here. Some big moves underneath the surface. I was looking at NVIDIA down to almost 800 here. SMCI as well, one of the more recent stonks, so to speak, has had a little bit of a pullback. You've got like your Apple that, you know, does not go up ever. Tesla as well. Even Microsoft and Meta as well taking it on the chin. Meta was down 10, 15 bucks, 17 now, basically low of the day. So a little bit of a move lower across the board. Amazon as well, down 3 and change. Google,
Yeah.
It up a little bit.
And this is not, we're not seeing too much two-sided action here. Apple had that announcement. They rallied to 178. And then five red days in a row, big red days in a row, down to 164. Mm-hmm. E-minis on its sixth red day in a row.
Oof.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Yep. When's the last time you saw that?
Never.
Yeah.
Maybe right here, this little.
January.
Yeah.
End of December, beginning of January. But that then it just ripped higher.
Yeah.
500 points. So, yeah. Crazy.
Have you done anything today? I've done a number of trades. Just to get into them.
I closed that soybeans futures put spread
from
yesterday for $56 or something like that. But everything else is just wait and see. DraftKings, right where we want it at 41. I've got the 38-41 inversion, but we've said that I'm going to hold this through earnings because, at least for now, we'll see how much extrinsic value holds on here, but I don't want to roll out in time for to 60 days for a dollar credit. I would rather get a $2 credit if we can do it.
I'm with you. I'm holding as well. I have a 43 straddle.
Yeah, but Netflix at 557, I sold the 560, 550 put spread in May. So I'm just going to hold that.
And you're out $200?
Yeah.
Ish?
$200. So just as we stated, like we're right at the money. It's trading for half the width. That's basically what you should expect. With time left to expiration and any kind of substantial reversal here, 20, 30 points, this will be fine.
So I did a number of things. I missed the dividend coming up in Caterpillar, so I got assigned overnight in my JohnnyTrader account. I wish I held that because it would have been I would have made back $300 or $400 here, more than that, $600 into this move here. Shame on me for my paper hands. But I got assigned on that, so I had to close that one out. That's a couple $100 loser. That was not a good trade, unfortunately. GDXJ, I closed out of the long call spread portion of the ratio that I had. I then sold a put against it, so I've got the 40 straddle. Rolled down a call spread in Microsoft, collected a dollar and change. That's kind of like my minimum for roll downs. Micron, I bought in the intrinsic value into this move lower and sold out a closer at the money tight strangle, basically a straddle here. So I bought in $15 of intrinsic value. So I bought the 100 strike call and the 115 strike put. That's that minimum value is $15. I then sold the 105, 110 out of the money strangle with the stock at 107 right now. I did it when it was at like 109. But it's an out-of-the-money strangle. So doing that transaction, it's $15 of intrinsic value. It's only costing me $11.62, and that's because I'm selling that at-the-money premium, $3.38 worth of added extrinsic value above the extrinsic value I had in the previous position, the inverted strangle. So you know, just rolling and selling more premium. Ideally, we get a little bit of a sideways move, and then I can roll out to June and hopefully turn this into a winning trade. It'd be a fun anatomy. I also have a shop trade in my JohnnyTrader account that's getting close there, so hopefully we'll be able to pull something off there. Mikey's ZS trade, I closed out of my corn position, so I took like a 90-cent loss on corn. I had a nice little rally this morning. It's a little bit higher now, so you know, if you held a little bit longer, you can get an even better price now. And then in Netflix, I did a little scoopy buy the dip. We'll see if it works here. It worked in Adobe after earnings when it had its big move lower. I kind of caught the day or two bounce back and closed out there. So maybe we'll get that in Netflix. Or maybe we'll just go straight to zero. Who knows? E-mini's down 36, NASDAQ down 300.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. Big difference there in the NASDAQ relative to the E-minis.
Yeah.
But yeah, corn. Nice to see corn coming in a little bit.
Oh, the corn man would be proud.
If we get the corn spread to work out, that'll be four for four.
Well, I closed mine for a small loser, but
I'm going to hold it.
Yours is 9 days, right? Or seven days.
So all we need here is
440, 430 put spread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we need another move like this.
Yep.
Not even.
And you'll be a scratch.
Could take 3 points, it'll be a scratch.
There you go.
3-4 points, be a scratch. So
I like it.
Yeah. and I need gold to stop. It's got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Gold and apple are my most frustrating positions because they were both winners that just turned to absolute losers.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of days.
I hear you. I hear you, man.
But yeah, we'll see what next week brings us. We've got plenty of earnings coming out next week.
Yes.
Let's see here. We've got...
You can pull them up on the earnings watch list here.
General Motors. FCX.
Got GE in there.
UPS. Spotify. Tesla. Enphase.
Visa.
Boeing.
Boeing.
That's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Boeing, 24th.
UAL, the best performing stock in the S&P 500 this week.
Yeah.
After earnings, up $10. It's mm-hmm. wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice one. Yeah, what else? There's so many next week. I'm just scrolling. Like, anything you want, it's next week.
Mm-hmm.
What other big names are? I think Apple's next week.
Apple, I think, is on the 2nd, May 2nd.
What am I?
My mom's birthday.
25th before the Oh, no, that's the wrong symbol. May 2nd. Netflix? No, not Netflix. We just had that. There's another big name that's next week.
Meta. 24th.
Meta.
I'm sure you got Amazon in there, too. They all kind of report in the same.
Google, 25th.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Amazon Roku. Is on the 30th.
Yeah. Next week's going to be a wild one.
All right.
There's literally 500 reporting next week.
Is that when we get the bounce?
Maybe. I mean, you never know. I was expecting this to be a bloodbath today. So the fact that it's not...
Yes.
It's a surprise.
Yes. Volatility is upticking a little bit here, though. You got vol futures almost at 18 here, high of the session today, the opening session. So see if that continues.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it is Friday, and we're doing a Q&A session. So if you want to join us on the YouTube channel, you can pop in your trade ideas, questions along the right-hand side chat. We'll get to them right now.
Yes.
But yeah, let's kick it off with Andrew. Mikey and Nick got the hookup on the best trades. Sometimes. We'll say about 50% of the time. Locked in on diagonal spreads for a reason. Small accounts, you should give a benefit of the doubt to long premium trades. Yeah. I mean, really, it's just defined risk. Like, Netflix can't do a debit trade.
Yeah.
Because it's just too expensive. So we had to go with a credit spread trade. But yeah, we typically try and keep our risk defined for earnings, keep it under $1,000. And the reason why we've been doing diagonal spreads is really just to have efficient exposure to implied volatility, where we're selling the weekly cycle that has the earnings announcement and we're buying a monthly cycle that does not.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lower implied volatility crush potential.
Yes.
So that's why we're doing diagonal spreads, calendar spreads, crab trades, because all of those have a diagonalized nature where we're selling tons of premium that doesn't have a lot of time left to expiration, and we're buying premium that does have time left to expiration without as much of an IV boost in terms of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So yeah, we've been liking those. And strong return on capital if you get it right.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my thinking on this Netflix position. You know, just taking a little bit of a directional stance, but also, you know, having that positive gamma and get a little bit of an offset via the short premium.
Mm-hmm. Delta Zero, if I'm making markets in DJT, what do I do?
Huh?
Dump the stock to 25, run it up to 35, hold it there while traders sell iron counters. Like, if you're the market maker?
Market maker doesn't care here. I mean, there's so much premium here that...
Yeah.
I mean, it's the... And, you got, you know, 30, 40 cent wide markets. You got, the tail skew on the call side. Yeah, market makers are happy with this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Market makers don't like SPY. You know why? Because SPY is so liquid, and there's a penny for them to make between the bid-ask spread. So there's, they need hundreds of thousands of contracts to make a little bit of money. In something like DJT that has 50 cent wide markets, you're getting filled at the bid and, you know, buying at the ask 50 cents every single time. And you got people YOLOing them and out, in and out. That's
YOLO and fear, which means they don't care about the price. They just want to get out.
Yeah. Again, my only thing with DJT, and I've posted this a couple times, talked about it. Very high borrow rate, almost 200%. That's annualized, but charged on a per day basis. So it's very high borrow rate. It obviously gets lower as the stock goes lower because the notional value of it gets lower. But if it goes, you know, if it squeezes higher, it's a very expensive position to be short. So if you're trading anything with short calls, you are at risk because it's one, hard to locate shares to be, you know, to begin with. And also if you're short those, you're gonna pay to hold that position. So if you're doing anything to the downside, it should be done with puts versus calls. So, you know, no selling of call spreads, no selling of naked calls unless you, you know, you really want that risk. I wouldn't be doing that. I would be buying spreads. So if you wanted to sell the 40-50 call spread, instead of doing this spread, and you could see here, max profit of 180, you know, versus 820, I would buy this long put spread. It's the same exact trade. You can see the same metrics here, but you have no risk of being assigned or, you know, problems with the borrow fee.
Like it.
So anything that you're doing there, no short calls, even if they're spreads.
Tesla trying to go to the moon, ticking into the green. Yeah.
It did for a second today, but it looks dead.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
But earnings next week, they could say some wild stuff.
I don't know. Elon has forsaken us.
Yeah. It's a sad one. Happy Friday indeed, Zach. Do you have to close the untested side of an iron condor in gold futures and then reestablish to roll up?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just the way that the futures contracts are transacted.
Yeah, they don't allow for custom orders. So when you're rolling a spread, you're closing and then opening a new position. And so it's one or the other how they restrict it. But there will be changes to that shortly.
When does it make sense to sell an option against an already profitable long option? I have a couple of them now. For example, I bought in March the Oracle 115 put in June.
Nice.
For 256.
Nice. Go into May, sell the 110 mm-hmm. for a dollar.
Yeah.
You basically take off half your principal risk and allow yourself to still participate in the downside. You know, you have the calendarized nature of it too. So even if you were to crash down to 100 or something like that, you'd still be, you know, wildly profitable here.
Yeah. Basically, to answer your question, premium's got to be there to sell an option against the long. You got to be putting yourself in a scenario where you can still profit if mm-hmm. it moves to the downside in this case. And most importantly, you have to be willing to stay in the trade. Because when you sell an option against it, you're staying in the trade. You're not exiting.
Correct.
You know.
But you're doing it into strength of your position.
Yes.
Like it's a, you know, advantageous adjustment that you're making.
Yoga Matt, can you look at the analysis tab? When I make changes to the IV and time, the P&L shade on the graph moves, but when prices change, there is no change to the shaded area.
Yeah, so the price is going to be reflected up here. So when you change the price, you'll see it moving and the distribution is moving, but you'll see my P&L Theo change here.
Yeah. So that's because price just moves where you are on this on the theoretical risk graph.
Yes.
Changing time and implied volatility changes the risk graph.
Yes. Yes, so exactly.
That's why.
So you can see this changes the risk graph. Changing time will change the risk graph as well. Spot price just changes where that is, that distribution is. So that would be there.
David's got negative 500 SPY beta weight deltas on a 325K account. Also have 530 theta. Is that too bearish? I don't think so. You're kind of in that range, like plus minus 1%.
What was it? 500-ish?
500 SPY.
Yeah. You're right there. And it also depends on how you got it, right? So if you were short shares or, you know, very heavy short delta positions and you got this sort of move, I might say, you know, take some of that off. If it's short delta that you've picked up now, you know, via put diagonals or something like that, you're probably getting the benefit of the doubt here with some higher extrinsic value in like your short options that'll offset, you know, some of that potential upside exposure. Meaning like if it's more dynamic delta, I am more comfortable holding it. If it's more static delta, you know, you've hit a home run.
Mm-hmm. Andrew asking about Netflix put spread. You're just directional, right? Any theta you get from that will only come in a week or so before expiration, correct? I mean, you'll still see theta decay, but yeah, this is a trade now where I need Netflix to get above 560, and for me to get any sort of substantial profit here, it's going to be much closer to expiration.
But that's based on the move now. Like,
yes.
Had there been no, you know, if it was, and it looked like it was going to be a big old non-event, then you would have been in the clear. It would have been a nicely profitable trade. You probably mm-hmm. would have closed it. If stock went up, you probably would have closed it. But now with the stock at your spread, now it's a slower moving trade.
Yes. And you can just see that by, like, the difference in theta and the difference in delta. So, yeah, the short option has 33.676 theta. The long option has 33.259. So mm-hmm. they're going to offset each other to a strong degree.
Yeah, and you can see it's basically zero theta.
Yeah, but delta, 50 delta on the short, 40 delta on the long. So if you get a 10-point move, that's $100 off the spread in theory. So yes, much more directional, but that's for everything. Delta is always going to play a larger role than theta.
Yes.
I want to be short on RL. First idea is a long put butterfly, but then realize a diagonal might make more sense. Thoughts on the pros and cons?
Yeah, no weekly options, so I'm guessing this doesn't trade all that much. Let's look at the volume and open interest. Where's my volume? There it is. Yeah, doesn't trade a ton.
Yeah, so with wider bid-ask spreads, less strikes is going to make things more easy
mm-hmm.
to get in and out of. So diagonal spread, two contracts versus your butterfly that has four.
Yeah.
If you're trying to not have risk to one side, your diagonal spread will achieve that. Butterfly will not. So, yeah, I don't mind doing a diagonal instead of a butterfly here.
It's just not super liquid. So I would be careful with your pricing.
The only thing that saves Tesla is a dividend announcement, which could happen if Musk's shareholders approve his obscene pay, or I guess reduce it.
Mm.
yeah, they need to do something.
Yeah.
Because whatever they're doing is not working.
Yeah. Meta did that and got a nice little bump.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm going to say that that was the whole thing, but
yeah. And now Zuck is like swaggy. He's got that.
He's drip. Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Nah.
He's got that a nice drip. Little beard going.
He's got the for real
yeah.
going on.
The for real. God.
He's got the chain popping. Yeah. And you know what it is? It's because he's spending all this time with all these UFC fighters.
Yeah.
Not instead of like, you know.
He's not a freaking dork anymore.
Oh, man. I just got a Roku and I'm in my late 40s. When the older group starts cutting cable and going to streaming services, you have to be long Roku.
I love my Roku, my Roku TVs.
It's nice.
Yeah. All right, what are we doing?
Earnings next week, right? Yeah.
I swore off Roku last year and, you know, look at me about to get back in.
Sling it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nice thing about Roku is there's so much premium here because the market...
You say that, but then...
But then it drops 20 points when you're long.
Or it goes from 55 to 105. You know, that you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I'll probably do a diagonal spread. Pretty cheap, $4 for long June, short the weekly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to wait till next week.
Okay. And I was looking at a put here. The margin requirement is... up because it's close. It's getting close to 100% IV.
There you go.
It's a tougher one.
Is there a VIX future that I can monitor after hours? I believe you're referring to VIX. That's just /VX.
Yes.
That's the future. And yes, you can see that big green bar to the upside got almost to 20, and then they said, just kidding, back down to 18. But it's weird to see the VIX. I mean, it's not weird, but one thing that's different now versus 6 years ago is that if we saw a 50-point move, but the market price is also higher. Mm-hmm. So a 50-point move today is peanuts compared to a 50-point move when the E-minis were at 3,000.
Yeah, a 50-point move is actually inside the expected.
Yeah.
I mean, right now with volatility futures at 18 and the VIX itself at 19 here, it's projecting 19 exactly as 1% move in either direction. So, you know, we are currently inside the expected move, which seems wild, but that's just how the math works out.
Kevin, thinking big, is the question today, are they going to want to buy stocks ahead of the weekend that could be volatile given what we saw last night?
Great question. Looks like they don't want anything today.
Yeah, I'm thinking no, but strange things have happened. Yeah, I mean, this could easily be chalked up as a risk off. Don't want to hold risk to the weekend because you don't know what's going to happen with the global issues that we have going on right now.
100%.
AJ, yesterday you advised what you thought Netflix would be as a loss. Today you said it is about what you expected. How did you sort out those numbers from the chain?
Mm.
So yesterday we were just talking about how with a 10-point wide spread, which is what I have, the 560, 550, a 10-point wide spread on a $500 stock is very, very small.
Yeah. It's narrow. What did you sell it for originally?
260.
Okay. Yep.
So yesterday, I believe I said my real-time risk, if Netflix drops to 550, 540, 530, is probably $200,
mm-hmm.
$250. And that's because any spread you look at with 30 days to go that is near the stock price is going to be trading around half the value.
Yeah.
Because you're within the expected move. If you're looking at the expected move here, like the expected move for May is 37 points. So if I'm like 10 points in the money on either side, whatever, it's within the expected move. It's kind of a 50-50 shot.
Mm-hmm.
So when you extrapolate that out to a 10-point wide spread, that means you're going to see about half the premium.
Yeah.
But since I collected 260 and I expect the spread to be trading for $5 or around there, subtract that and you get your $200 loss. So that's all we were looking at.
And it's a common situation for people to put on a spread like this and look at it and say, oh, well, I sold it at 260, so I have $700 of risk and only $300 in profit. These spreads don't, it's not an all or nothing position, especially in the short term. To Mikey's point, you know, his risk reward into earnings was probably like $100.
Profit
and $200 loss. Yep. It's not the, you know, 3-7.
Yes.
Profit or loss, it's 1-2.
And that's because I was in the May cycle.
Yes.
If I was in the 0 day, that's a different story.
Yeah, the spread probably wasn't trading near that. Yeah.
This spread would have been less expensive for sure. I wouldn't have collected as much.
Yeah.
But like if you look at If you look at a 580, 570 in May, it's trading for 639, which means it's $360 off of max loss because there's 28 days to go, still plenty of time for it to reverse. In the 0 day, though,
the 0 day, you actually would have been fine here. You can even see
the 560, 550.
Yeah. And that's all vol, you can see.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would have had to be out of the money because this is.
Yeah, you would have been out the same $2.
Exactly.
Just because you're right at the money.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same sort of risk reward. Obviously, if the stock had gone to 500, you're out $200 or $300 or $400. This one is out 700.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the 580, 570 in the 0 day is trading for almost max loss. So that's all I was estimating was even if the spread's in the money, it's still a narrow spread. It's still going to have 30 days to go. There's still going to be extrinsic value in the strikes. So it's not going to trade for $1,000. Naked short calls in an IRA? Technically, yes, if you want to. I have short inverted strangle in XBI. 83 call, 85 put. Is it time to roll to June or better to wait 1 week till 21 days?
Do we know? Okay, so it's May. What were the strikes again?
83, 85 inversion.
83. It's puts. Okay. All right. Do we know the cost on that? No.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to matter too much. I mean, you've got 7 days passage of time. You're right where you kind of want to be in terms of minimal intrinsic value beyond your inversion.
Yeah.
Being at 83 with the stock at 82.24. So, yeah, there's going to be very little difference. If the stock is right here between your strikes or near them, there's going to be very little difference if you roll now versus in 7 days. The problem is if XBI sells off 5 points. Now you're looking at a much different scenario because you don't have as much extrinsic value to roll into.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to buy back May and sell out June.
There's almost $4 in chance. Like you're, even though you're inverted, it's really a straddle.
Yeah.
Like
it's going to feel like a straddle.
Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of extrinsic value here. So it's a tough call. It's a tough call. But you can roll to the 83 straddle for $1.50 and change now.
Did we win all the money on Scotty? Didn't you do a bet on Scotty?
Yes.
Outright?
Well, DraftKings has been giving the like plus 300 odds boost.
Yeah. Like, so anytime he starts, you just use it on him.
Yeah. I mean, why would you use that on like a long shot versus a favorite?
Yeah.
I got all my little sprinkled long shots.
Scotty's unstoppable.
He's amazing.
It's really just insane.
It's incredible.
Pablo, short 90 SPY shares at 471. Do you have any ideas on how to reduce the loss? Was considering a put-call ratio to bring break even closer to 483, but unfortunately my buying power isn't sufficient. Thoughts?
What was it? 70?
471. Short 90 shares.
I mean, you got bailed out a little bit in the last... Mm-hmm. I mean, your loss got cut in half. I think at a certain point, you know, you have to either consider it or take off a piece of the position. That's how I look at it.
To believe that it's going back down to 470 if you're holding this position.
Yeah. I mean, but believe, you know, that's one thing. But to get half of it back, you know, maybe take half your position off.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it goes down to 470, it's not like you miss out. You know, you obviously won't make as much back, but you know, if you bounce back to 520, you have powder dry to get back into a position there. You know, generally speaking, if you want to close out of your position, I think it's more capital efficient to close out of the shares and then do something like a zebra if you want to be short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those shares were intrinsic static delta, and you got bailed out for 30 points or 25 points in the last 2 weeks. Maybe you close it out, you release that buying power, you'll get, you know, 30 or 35 grand back, whatever, the, you know, some quick math here. get your 30 grand back, and then do a put zebra.
Yeah.
And then you have the same sort of delta exposure, but you're using a tenth of the capital.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would do. And you can go into June or whatever your time frame is.
How am I managing AMD? AMD is...
Full road round trip.
Yeah, it's crazy. So when I put this position on, I went to May because I wanted to be in the earnings cycle for a potential bailout. So this is literally the worst case scenario. AMD's gone from 200 to 150, down 50 points.
Yeah.
From when I put this on. Let's see when I put this on exactly. Yeah. I did a 180-190 on March 22nd.
In May?
For May, yeah. So March 22nd, this thing was trading at almost 200. Now it's down 50 points. So since then, I've rolled the 190 to the 180 to create a calendar spread, collected $1.70 for that, reduced my basis from 912. Sorry, that was 402 is when I put this on.
Are you June, May? Or May?
I'm May weekly.
Okay, so you just have the 180.
Yeah, so I have the 180 that has value, 150 bucks. I have this worthless 7-day option that is just sitting there. What I would like to do is, if there's a rally in AMD, I would like to roll from the 7-day to the 14-day, because that's going to bring me into the earnings cycle. And even if I did that right now, that 180 strike is still trading for 70 cents. So if there's any kind of substantial 3-point, 4-point rally, that 70 cents is going to be a dollar or over a dollar. Maybe I turn it into a diagonal spread. Maybe I keep it a calendar. But right now, what I need is a bailout from earnings.
Yeah, you need, I mean, getting a hemorrhage to the downside here, as you would say. There's
not much.
You're leaning long and the stock goes down $50. You're just kind of SOL.
The potential good news is there's a 15-point expected move for earnings, which is a big number for AMD. Yeah. So if there's a 15-point rally to the upside or more, this long call is going to gain a ton. It's going to gain $500 of value, and I'll be close to a scratch. So that's what I need to happen here. Yes. But yeah, it's a tough trade right now. That 500 SPY beta weighted delta to the downside is from zebra and synthetic shorts.
Nice.
Without these, I'm plus 370 SPY beta. Yeah, so I like that. You're basically using synthetic shorts and defined risk zebras to get some negative delta.
Yeah, you could do you could ratchet it as the ladies do.
Yes.
So what that means is that you just basically move you take off the intrinsic value of the zebra, right? So if you had a zebra, let's say, and you're, you know, I don't know what strikes would be exactly, but let's say, you know, you're up here at 520 and you've picked up, you know, 15 points of intrinsic value, you can close out of this position and then start a new at the money zebra where there's no intrinsic value here. So this, we can look at the risk profile here. You can see it's a 50-50 shot. You have a little bit of buffer to the upside because of the difference in the extrinsic value that'll happen here. If you move this to in the money, and I'll just go deep in the money just to show this, you don't have any buffer from here on out, right? It's 1-to-1, and it doesn't matter what strikes you have. I just move this deep in the money to make it more synthetically stock position, so you can see it's 100 deltas. The problem with this position is that 1-to-1, you're going to lose money to the upside and the downside. When you do the at-the-money zebra, you get the benefit of that change in extrinsic value at the money that makes it so that instead of losing 1-to-1 to the upside, you've got a little bit of short-term buffer. And that's a ratchet of the zebra, taking off the intrinsic value and patting yourself on the back for a good trade.
There you go. With an underlying like gold last week that had an IV rank pushing 100, would you consider a butterfly as a long-term position that could be adjusted if need be?
Like a wide butterfly? Like I do in
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to go longer term, because even though gold has high IV rank, the actual implied volatility in gold is low. So you'd have to go further out in time to give yourself some premium to make it work.
Yeah. It's a tough one, because you don't get the same volatility change. Like SPX, you do the put wide put butterfly. Mm-hmm. Market goes down, you get the benefit of both having the short delta and the long vega, which typically volatility, you know, expands much faster when you have those downside moves. Something like gold, you'll have long vega because you're long premium, but you'll probably see volatility come in, meaning go down, with a down move in the underlying. So I would prefer getting more static E delta with a diagonal spread.
Two for one deal here. How do you calculate expected move? I'm in Canada and don't have Tasty. And is MES M4 cash settled? Yes, MES is all cash settled. One thing to keep in mind though is if you're trading options on MES M4, you can see there's 10, 15 different expirations that roll into the M4 contract. Mm-hmm. So if I sell a put in MES M4 and it's in the money through expiration, it's going to turn into the contract. So that put is not going to be cash settled. Your contract will be cash settled, but just keep that in mind that if you're selling in the money options or your options in the money and you let it go, it'll turn into the contract, which is cash settled at the end of the day. And expected move, the plus minus numbers that's listed on the right hand side is close to the straddle.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they're at, for Canada, I would just look at the straddle.
Yeah. Look at the straddle. It's going to be close.
That's your expected move 50-50 shot. For one standard deviation, just go to the 16 delta. Easy. Mm-hmm. Because you got to have delta. I'm sure they have delta on the platform. Yeah. Maybe they don't. I don't know.
Got to have delta.
Yeah.
XSP Iron Condor, 440, 495 shorts, 5 points wide.
440. Do we know what expiration?
Expiring today. So the 440 is worthless. It's going to be worthless. The 495, 500, you can close that spread. You're just going to have to move the price because mm-hmm. these options are 20 cents wide. They're flying around. So the put spread, maybe you can't close because it's zero bid, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't worry about that. It's going to be worthless. The call spread here in XSP, if you're trying to close it, is what you need to buy back. But XSP is cash settled, so you don't really need to do anything. But there would be an assignment fee if that short option's in the money. So you just need to adjust your price closer to the natural, which means moving it higher, penny by penny.
Yes.
SPX Butterfly from a couple days ago, long put at 46.90, two shorts, 47.95, and one long at 48.40.
It's great.
May. Could have jumped out for $80 credit, but held. Should I bail or hang on?
What were the strikes again?
46.90, 47.95, and 48.40 for May.
46.90. Okay. 40 what?
47.95. Wide one.
Yeah.
And 48.40. Oh, so yeah.
So this is kind of a funky
48.40 long. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, you're getting the moves that you need. You've got six down days in a row.
Well, this is more like a broken wing butterfly. Unless they did it.
Long 46.90. Short 47.95. Above there.
Yeah.
And one long at 48.40.
Yeah, so you're $45 wide on the long spread. You're $105 on the short spread.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, you're getting the move you want for sure. Holding on versus closing is subjective. If you think it's gonna
You got a lot of room to the downside. I mean, I would hold.
Your break even's 200 points lower.
Yeah,
pretty much. Regarding the TAN trade, on the show you said you would wait a couple days more before rolling the short call. Can you explain when would be the time and, again, your reasoning for it?
What do you got there? You got May 45 strike?
Yeah. Right. 45, the 45 straddle, and then long the 50, long the 35.
And you did it at what?
406. So I just didn't want to go inverted. I don't feel like I need to go inverted.
Yeah.
That was my only reasoning.
Yeah. We talked about how you can roll down to the 40 strike.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll make you won't use any additional capital because you'll have a $10 by $10 wide spread.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the stock has gone down $5 and you're out $100.
Yeah. And if I go to the 40, I'd pick up $1.50, which would bring my credit to $5.50, but I would have a $5 wide inversion.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically kill any profit potential if I roll it down.
Yes.
So I would rather lean long and just see if we get a rally here, and this trade will be profitable. I'll just close it.
Yes.
Dell Iron Condor, 28 days, 115, 145 shorts, 5 points wide. Dividend in 3 days. Thoughts?
Well, your call spread is basically worthless. You said it was $5 wide?
Mm-hmm.
You're probably out like 60 cents, 70 cents, something like that. I don't know what you did this at, but I'm guessing somewhere around 150-ish, 160, 70. No risk of assignment on dividends with puts.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue. But you're right at the money.
Yeah.
It's like Mikey's Netflix position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just need a little rally here. But, yeah, no assignment risk on puts, just in the money short calls.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Getting Media caught.
800.
Yeah. Market's rallying a little bit. Getting caught in May Iron Condors with the put spreads underwater and the call spread is diminished. If you can't roll the put spread for credit, would you consider rolling higher or just wait?
No.
Not really. Yeah, for any spread, if you're trying to roll it for a credit, it's got to be done before it's in the money. That applies for everything. So that's why, like, with defined risk spreads, we're not necessarily hyper-focused on 21 days because it doesn't matter if you're at 21 days. If the spread's in the money, you're not rolling for credit. It's not like a short put by itself.
Yeah.
So if your goal is to roll for a credit, it's got to be done before it moves in the money. Adobe May Iron Condor, 475, 500 shorts, 15 points wide.
475.
15 points wide. Yeah, so you're 475, 460 here. Yep. You could maybe roll that for a scratch because it's right in between.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's a tough one because it's relatively tight.
But, yeah, rolling the put spread higher is definitely a no-go because then you're just creating a narrow spread that you'll never get out of.
Yeah, and you're doing it for less than the value of it if it's in the money.
Yeah.
Like if you're rolling, like right now, this position has $3 in risk. If you're taking this and rolling this to 500, 585, you're getting paid 430, but now you have all that risk that here you is currently out of the money. So all else equal, if you do this roll, you're going to lose more money than if you just sit here with this position and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. Next week, PMI, Tuesday, 8:45 Central. GDP, Thursday, 7:30 Central. PCE, Friday, 7:30 Central. Vecchio and Ilya, we're talking about PCE. Some craziness next week, potentially, with all the earnings and some economic data coming out. It's going to be wild. Going to be wild. Let's see here. Daniel, not a trader myself, but love watching your channel because of the content and the passion you guys have as well.
We appreciate you, Daniel.
We love you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a fun time here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun time indeed.
Anything popping off your screen here, Mikey?
Apple down $2.
Yeah, it never goes up. It's dead. It's done. Apple's gone. No more iPhones.
Yeah.
I like to use the S&P 100 list. You got all the big names, the top of the list. Netflix, AMD, NVIDIA, Meta, Amazon, AVGO, GE in there, Eli Lilly, all to the downside. Upside, American Express. Sosnoff favorite. Up 5%. I think it opened basically unchanged. UNH has had a big move here.
Craziness.
Yeah.
Brad's got a GDX vertical call debit spread.
GDX.
The June 30, 35 call.
Okay.
I took profits on the first contract for $150. My remaining spread is $180 profit. Do I hang on for more profit or consider closing the dub?
It's a nice trade.
Yeah. So, yeah, this spread now is really just like, because you're already almost all the way in the money, it's more of a theta decay trade.
Yeah.
If GDX stays above 35. So, yeah, it's a nice trade. I don't mind closing it because 63 days is a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
GDX has had a significant run up. You have only so much left to make and you have a lot to lose. So,
yeah,
I would personally consider closing it.
It's a nice win.
Yeah.
You had a cheapy position. If you're up $180, you did this at basically a dollar, maybe less.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice trade. If you wanted to, and we've talked about this before, if you are long a spread or long an option or whatever you're doing with, and you get the directional move correct, this is $4 of value at expiration. So you can sell something, a call spread, that is $4 wide without using additional buying power, because this spread, if it goes fully in the money, it means that your current spread will still be fully in the money. It'll be 4 and 4, so it'd be a net wash. So if you could sell this spread for 70 cents and hit both of them, if the stock stays at 35, you make 70 cents on this new put spread, you make, you know, the full $4 on your long call, or I'm sorry, this new call spread, and then you'd make $4 on your in-the-money long call spread. So, you know, the caveat is that obviously if the stock goes up to 40, you miss out on that value.
Indeed. Last one here. Bottom of the chat, Andrew, Walmart IVR is 100. Yes, it is.
Yeah, they kind of nuked it with the split.
Yeah. Nice. I will say, though, IV rank of 100 doesn't mean much to me when IV's at 25%.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that there's plenty of premium to sell here. It just means that this 20% is the highest that Walmart's been in a year,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of staggering. You look at May, there's really not much premium at all. You look at June, not much premium at all. So, like, if you're trying to trade this for earnings, I'm going to go the debit route here. Because they're like a zebra, even. Like, mm-hmm. You can get static delta cheap here,
yes,
with 20% IV.
Yes.
So just be careful of that IV rank of 100. You got to also look at IV.
Yes.
And if IV's low, IV rank of 100 isn't as telling, we'll say. That's it.
Beautiful. Pizza time, pizza party.
Pizza
party shirts.
Yeah. Pizza party shirts in pursuit of the perfect pickle.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, you can always find us on the Twitters. I'm at Trader Mikey B. Nick's at Trader Nicky Bat. Stay tuned, though. We got plenty more content coming your way on the YouTube channel as well as tastylive.com. Yeah, have a great weekend, everyone. And we'll see you same time, same place, 11 a.m. Central on Monday. We'll do it all again. Peace.
Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. TastyLive, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. TastyLive, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.